Hello, and welcome to Games That Suck, a gaming retrospective in the Shay Hates Everything podcast family. My name is Kyle, I'll be your host today, and I'm of course joined by my brother Shay. Welcome, Shay.
Hey, thanks.
Welcome
I'm
to the pod.
Excited to be here. Yeah. I always love talking about bad video games that came out 30 years ago.
Oh, that feels bad. Oh, Games That Suck. I gotta do the spiel. Games That Suck is, but despite feeling bad, it's a series where we look back at some of gaming's lowest lows. Each episode, we focus on a particular year in gaming and argue about what the bottom three games of each year should be. And this month, we are investigating and debating the worst games of 1997. Almost 30 years ago.
Yeah, and also... I mean, I feel like this is true of many years, but scrolling through the list of releases in 1997, there are some pretty highly regarded video
games.
Like, there are, you know, Final Fantasy VII, for example, a little game called Castlevania Symphony of the Night. Like, there are some, like, decent ones that came out in 97. We're not talking about those.
No, not today. That's next
month. We will talk about them. But we're talking about games on the other side of the spectrum. And ironically, I feel like normally we've got one or two like tie-in games to like a movie or a TV show or some sort of other media. I feel like half or maybe like more than half of the games on the list today are licensed games.
It's almost all of them. We have 10 games. Only 1, 2, 3, 4 of the 10 are not property adjacent. So over half are related to other intellectual properties.
Yeah. And it definitely feels like this era in 97 was sort of like it was becoming more popular to license games.
Yeah.
And that the low effort of licensed games combined with the "we have no idea how to make 3D games" of the early PS1 days. There's some gems.
Yeah.
Some real gems.
This is, I feel like, where our generation's aversion to licensed video games, this is the genesis of that aversion. Because it's just, it's garbage after garbage. And that kind of begins with the PlayStation 1 era. All those bad 3D. There's people trying to figure out 3D, but also trying to do it cheaply to cash in on this thing. There's some bad games on here, man.
Yes.
All right. Let's dive into it. So we have our long list. Shay and I have gone through the entire Wikipedia list for video games that released in 1997. We have picked out 10 games that we would like to nominate for the suck list. And this is our long list. We're going to go through alphabetically. We'll talk about each game. We'll come up with a shorter list of games that might make the bottom three. And then we'll start kind of doing the horse trading and back and forth to get to our bottom three, order them, and then call it a sode. So,
yeah,
let's start off. You got the first one. You put this one on here. Tell us all about it.
Before we even dive in to this first game, just scrolling through this list, we normally have more than 10 games. Like, we normally, like, we're like 15, 16 games a lot of times. 10 is not that many. But I'll tell you what, man, looking at this list, I see like two or three games that aren't horrible. Like, two or three games that I don't think will make it. I don't know how we're going to find three games from this list.
I don't know either.
That's what I'm trying to say. So, first game. Beast Wars Transformers. This was a PlayStation 1 and PC game developed by SCE Cambridge and published by Hasbro, license holder for Beast Wars and Transformers. I imagine most listeners are familiar with Beast Wars variant of the Transformers IP, but for those that are not, Beast Wars follows the Maximals and the Predacons, which are just, they're just Transformers, but they're animals instead of just like cars and airplanes and stuff.
Yeah.
Weird concept, but a fun show. This also, the show was 3D. Like, you know, CG animation. And right. So that was sort of like a big change from the more traditional anime style Transformers cartoon. And so they took the same approach in the video game. And they decided to make this a 3D game. It's very linear. The camera sort of follows your character as you're running around.
Does it? Not successfully. Yeah, okay.
Not successfully. That might be, I mean, there are a lot of things that are bad about this game. The camera might be the worst thing, which you'll hear a running theme. 3D controls and 3D camera are not great in this era.
No.
So the camera is really bad. It's also just a hideously ugly game. The controls suck. Trying to navigate some like tight corridors with this like big hulking robot, either in animal form or in robot form, feels very bad. It also just feels like a low effort cash grab, which again, common theme. So like when you are playing as the animal, I guess I should say like combat wise is primarily or maybe even exclusively as the robot version, sort of when you're running around is when you're in the beast mode, because that's how you need to like traverse the levels. And then once you get into combat scenarios, you transform into your robot form and fight shit. And that just like it didn't create a fun gameplay loop, because
right.
What you want to be able to do is like pick and choose when you want to use whichever one and have different tactics for each thing. And it just doesn't really play out that way. The best thing I can say about it is that it has a full campaign for the Maximals and the Predacons separately. So that part of it is like fun to be able to pick a side, run through all the missions and then do the other one. But that's about the only good thing I can say.
Yeah, I had never played this. You showed me some gameplay before we recorded this episode, and it really was incomprehensible. The draw distance for early 3D games is really bad kind of across the board. This is especially bad. And like just moving the camera around to try to shoot things, like sometimes your character just isn't on the screen anymore because the camera doesn't know what to do. It's really insane. It's really crazy. It is a tremendously hideous, seems like a horrible time.
And just like, I don't know. Look, this was a long time ago. I don't know the mindset of people making games back then. It's just like, I'm just like, why? It's just such an unforced error in making a game like this.
Yeah, because like, there's no part of it that's really redeemable
or fun. No, definitely not. No, not at all. And that's not the last time we're going to say this. And it's because so many of these games are licensed games. That's what makes them feel like if a licensed game comes out and it's just like garbage and feels low effort, it's kind of hard to think what other reason than just it being a cash grab.
Right, right.
So yeah, Beast Wars Transformers, I think, is one of the many games on this list that deserves to stick around.
I agree, based on what I saw.
It might be, we'll see. We'll have to come back. It might be the ugliest game on this list.
It's not, unfortunately.
You know what? I know which game you're going to say is uglier, and you're right. Okay, it's the second ugliest game on this list.
Okay, cool. I'm glad we're on the same page. All right, next up on the list is Bomberman 64. This was developed by Hudson Soft and published by them as well. This has a game rankings of 68.89, which I believe is the highest game rankings on our list. It is, yeah.
I didn't say the Beast Wars one unless you did and I missed
sorry,
it.
Sorry,
no. It had a game rankings of 38,
ooh,
which is not the lowest.
It's not the lowest.
But pretty big difference between 38 and 68.
Yeah. There is a difference. Bomberman 64 has a single player campaign and a multiplayer mode. And I think the reason it rates highly is because people generally like that single player mode. Mm-hmm. In what is kind of an inverse of the other Bomberman games, people don't like the multiplayer mode for it. I only ever played the multiplayer mode because it was like me going over to my friend's house who had an N64 and being forced to play the multiplayer with them. But like, this is why I don't like Bomberman. And this is why I'm glad they stopped making Bomberman games. Like, okay. Bomberman 64 ruined it all for me because there's terrible platforming. Like, it's clearly trying to emulate, like, Mario 64, but not able to do it. And, like, Mario 64 had the secret sauce. They figured it out. Bomberman 64 does not have the sauce. They don't even know any of the ingredients that compose the sauce. they're just throwing in thyme and lemon.
What is a sauce?
Yeah, really, yeah, yeah.
They just serve up their food dry.
Right, yes. A meat patty. They didn't even cook it. I could hardly ever, like, this is me trying to recall what it was like playing it, but I could hardly figure out what I was supposed to do or like what I was doing because the camera was all over the place. Like you said, running theme. And so when you think of Bomberman, you think like top down, you're running through like a grid and laying bombs that like blast in certain directions and you're trying to catch people in your blast wake or whatever on this like top down grid. Bomberman 64 multiplayer is like trying to emulate some of that stuff. But it's in the 3D and the camera's bad and it's like I have no idea where anybody is ever and I just die randomly because I'm not like employing any strategy because I can't because I don't know where anybody else is. Bomberman 64 is bad. It's a bad game. It's a no good, very bad game. But I hear that single player. I have read that the single player is pretty good. So
yeah, I think it's tough because I have not played this. I think it's tough when, like, only part of the game is the thing that you played and hated.
I know.
Watching some gameplay of the single player, it looks like it, I mean, it tries to combo the traditional Bomberman stuff with Super Mario 64. It doesn't look fun to me, but I also am not a Bomberman person, so it's hard to say.
Yeah. I should, like, be more specific about the multiplayer camera stuff. When I say, like, I can't find anybody or find out where they're... It's because the fixed camera, like, it's a 3D map, so there are elements in front of where your characters are all the time. Mm-hmm. And so that's what makes it hard to, like, figure out. I realized when I was saying it made it sound like you have, like, full 3D rotation. That is not the case. It's, like, it's a fixed camera, like a Bomberman thing. But because there are 3D elements, there are things in the foreground, and I'm unable to figure out, like, what the hell's going on any given time. Because you're, like, rolling the bombs and stuff, and those will disappear behind scenic elements, and it's like you lose track of them. And, yeah, I remember it being very bad. So I don't think it sticks around for the reason that you stated, right? Like I hate the one part of it, but supposedly the other part is good. I don't think, also because I'm not sure how we're going to whittle this list down. We can whittle Bomberman. I don't think we need to keep that one.
I think that is fair. That feels okay.
And as the highest rated game, not that this matters, as the highest rated game rankings title on this list, we're not going to keep it around.
This time.
If we re-record this episode, it might go poorly for Bomberman 64.
All right.
Yeah, next, you take the next one.
Next is Clay Fighter 63 and the Third, which took me until a couple of minutes before we recorded to realize that 63 and the Third was a bit, instead of Clay Fighter 64, it was 63 and a third. That's real dumb.
It's a bad joke.
So this game's by Interplay, published by Interplay as well. It has a game rankings of 47.96, so almost 48.
Oh, almost so 48. Close.
This game, we've talked about Clay Fighter, I believe on a previous episode, maybe it was 95 or 96, as being a good video game.
Right.
Clay Fighter 2 is a pretty fun video game. Clay Fighter 63 and a third is not a very fun video game. The animation style changed from 2 to 3/63 and a third. It still has a little bit of that stop motion, but it feels more stiff and jittery and just generally looks worse. Like, it loses the clay feel, and it feels more like they're trying to do Mortal Kombat, but with clay figures, if that tracks. Like, Mortal Kombat was famous for having sort of like stop motion, real human applied in a 2D video game look to it. And Clay Fighter had a much more fluid clay feeling fighting, combat and,
right,
and movement. But in this game, it's like they tried to be closer to Mortal Kombat because of the popularity of it. And it just looks really, really ugly.
Yeah, like, the characters don't even look like they're made out of clay.
No, yeah, it doesn't have the clay feel to it of the previous games.
Yeah, I'm looking at gameplay right now. I don't know why they would do that, other than maybe doing that for the first two games was hard, and they didn't want to do it anymore.
Yeah, that's possible. It also does that, like, mixed 2D, 3D, where it, like, right, has depth to the background and the environment, and also, like, as you move, you aren't moving in a 3D space, but the camera sort of shifts to make it feel like your 2D plane is moving, and that felt really bad also.
Yeah.
Like, you weren't actually moving, but the camera just made it feel like you were, and so it was kind of hard, like, the hitboxes kind of sucked, and so it was just hard to, like, line up, you know, solid, good-feeling hits and combos and things like that. I just, yeah, it's
I can see that.
Really disappointing game. I don't know the backstory of this game and why it's such a far departure from the previous one, but it just sucks. It's a bummer. I don't know. I definitely think it's really bad. I don't know if it's going to make it.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, because I think there are a couple. Well, let's keep it for now.
Okay.
Because I think there are like 3 or 4 other ones that I would probably put above it.
I do like this quote that was pulled from the Wikipedia page.
Uh-huh.
Quote, "One of the worst fighting games ever made," end quote.
Yeah, yeah. So we should probably keep it for now.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's real bad. Who was that quote from?
Dude, I'm like reading about the development on Wikipedia. This is so interesting. They were dissatisfied with the clay animation in Clay Fighter 2, and so they wanted it to feel more stop motion like it did in the original Clay Fighter. That's so fascinating. Like, the creators wanted it to be more like the original, a game that was not very good, and less like Clay Fighter 2, a game that was good.
Yeah, that people liked.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? Props to them, man, for having a vision and following it.
Totally.
Here's your 47.96.
Jeez. Yeah, I think the first Clay Fighter has like a 50-some, and even the second one is not great.
Yeah.
I had a lot of fun with that game, but it's not a great video game. All right, we ready to move on?
Yes, please. Let's move on.
Let's talk about Fantastic Four.
Oh, moving on was a mistake.
A PSX game, yet another licensed game. This was developed by Probe Entertainment and published by Acclaim. This has the distinguished honor of being our lowest ranked game rankings game at a 37.
One lower than Beast Wars Transformers.
Yeah. So for Fantastic Four, think Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles arcade, think Batman Forever console edition, think Streets of Rage, but blocky 3D characters with really stilted movement, horrible hitboxes. But yeah, like, yeah, you get to play as all four Fantastic Four characters. Whoop-de-woo. This game, it's another game that, like, needs to be seen to be believed, much like Beast Wars.
It's like all the programmers had their 5-year-old kids draw the characters.
Yes. Like, they look like G.I. Joe characters.
Yeah. There's something
Moving.
weird about them.
Yeah, like their chests are like, you know what they look like? They look like those old Power Rangers toys that transformed. That like you had the head without a mask on, and then you could flip. So like you would flip
Oh
their
yeah.
chest to swap heads to the mask.
So their
And so
chests were huge.
the chests were huge because inside the chest was the other head. That's what these
Right.
characters look like.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good call.
Yeah, and so you're fighting Skrulls, you're fighting other bosses, Doctor Doom, all that good stuff.
Man,
But
like
yeah, man,
some of these enemies like don't look finished.
they look quite bad.
And like they
Like
still have
the mole
like
men.
yeah, like they have temporary textures on them.
Yeah. And like it's even like the idea of taking Fantastic Four characters and applying them even to a beat 'em up game, but like they just punch things.
Right. That's
It
all
just
any of the
doesn't
Fantastic Four characters do. They just hit stuff.
just doesn't make sense.
That's
Like
why they're like one
they
of the
have
least popular like superhero group.
but that's not but that isn't because they have power. Like you in the comics and also in the game, they do have special powers. Like that apply to their unique superhero abilities, but that's what makes them a cool group in the comics is their unique powers. But in the video game, you are just punching and kicking things, and then you have special abilities that actually use their superpowers. It just doesn't make sense. Like their movement and their combat should be oriented around their abilities. The abilities shouldn't be like extra add-ons that you get to use sometimes.
Would you
Like if I'm
say,
playing as Reed Richards, I don't want to just punch guys. I want to stretchy punch guys all the time.
that Fantastic Four on the PlayStation 1 is, in many ways, the precursor to Suicide Squad?
Oh, Lord.
All of the characters just play the same, regardless of their powers.
Oof. What a comparison. Yeah, I'm sure that Rocksteady like were playing
They were
the
all playing Fantastic
1997
Four.
Fantastic Four like
Yeah.
we got to do this. We got to
It's their
replicate
favorite
this.
game.
Yeah.
What if Harley Quinn just punched stuff?
What if Captain Boomerang used a sniper rifle? All right. We will get to yeah, we will get to 2024's games that suck later in 2024.
Yeah.
But yeah, for now, I think Fantastic Four stays on the list.
Okay, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. All right,
Do you want to intro the next one?
this next one is Frogger for the PlayStation X, developed by SE Studio Cambridge and published by Hasbro. Has a game rankings of 49.82, which is not good. This version of Frogger is what I think of in my head when people talk about Frogger, because this was my first exposure to the franchise, unfortunately. We either owned this game or it was on like a PlayStation Underground demo disc, and I played it a bunch of times. Like, but I have absolutely played a lot of this game. Because there's your standard Frogger map where like you're crossing lanes of traffic or whatever, but then you're also going like across logs and stuff. But then there are other levels where you're hopping around, like it's still top down and the graphics are terrible, but you're hopping around like an open environment, tile by tile kind of hopping. And there are like insects that you have to eat, but they could also like get you. It those levels are horrible. They tried to, give it some juice, right? They like added more complexity to the maps. The camera can rotate on some maps. They added like traps, different moving platforms. It's really hard and bad. I don't know, because again, I don't know if it was a demo or if we had the full game. I never got past like a couple of levels in Frogger for
Well,
PlayStation 1.
the Frogger was always a difficult game. Like that's what made it
Yeah.
fun was the it was that like tension of the movement is so simple, and really what you're doing in the game is so simple. It's all about being able to think ahead. It's very like chess. Like, that's kind of how it felt. And so bringing Frogger into a like a more complex environment, but keeping the same, or trying to keep some of the same tension, it just didn't feel great, because it made it feel like unfairly hard. Because in Frogger, like, there were always times where, like, it would feel unfair, like, oh, I got unlucky because the cars or what, the, you know, the logs or whatever level you're on, like, it just didn't line up right. So I got screwed. But in this, because they added, like, the traps and they changed the perspective in certain maps, like, there were things that it wasn't capturing the same simple difficulty of the original. And that just, it just, what, that wasn't fun.
Right. Yeah. It was too busy.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, Frogger doesn't need more shit going on.
Right.
I get it. Money. But like, yeah. Because you can't just keep making the same Frogger game. Right. Like, you got to do more. But it's like Pac-Man. Like, trying to make Pac-Man do other things never works.
Dude, tell me about it. Pac-Man. Trying to get Pac-Man to open a door in Adventures.
Yeah. Yeah.
Forget about it.
Why'd you gotta give him hands, man?
Well. I think, oh man. I'm just looking at some of these ones coming up. I guess Frogger stays, right?
I think it does.
Okay. Yes. All right, adding Frogger to the shortlist. Next up, we have Independence Day for the PlayStation X, developed by Radical, published by Fox Interactive, the license holders. This is a game rankings of 53.67, just ahead of Frogger. This game sucks, man. The structure of the video game is that there's a series of levels. They're all basically the same thing. You have to shoot down, like, X number of enemy aircraft. And as you go through the campaign, you're unlocking new types of, like, fighters and jets and stuff. And they have some different weapons and all that. But you're really just using the heat-seeking missiles every time. Because it's... Yeah. The controls are wild. Like, it's really hard to aim at enemies and hit them because they're flying around too fast and the camera's crazy. It feels really loose.
Like, the like speed that you are moving and the flexibility of controls, like, it just wasn't.
It doesn't match. Well. Yeah, it does not. Yeah, it was not tuned.
It always feels like you're out of control.
Yes. Yeah. So that's why you just default to heat-seeking missiles on everything, because those are lock-on. So. It was kind of like, regardless, like, you never felt rewarded for unlocking a new plane, because you're like, I guess I'm just using the missiles again. And they, like, the different planes had different stats and, like, agility and handling and stuff. It was always bad. It doesn't matter, like, what those meters did. Sometimes what they thought was better was actually worse in practice. But, yeah, it's every level's the exact same objective. And it's weird, because, like, you're flying under the mothership. And so you have, like, this narrow vertical space where you can fly, and that doesn't feel great in a flying game. You want to be able to, like, do some maneuvers and stuff, and you want to, like, do the big loop-de-loop to, like, you know, shake off your pursuers or whatever. And there just never felt like there was enough room between the top of the map and the bottom of the map.
Right.
It felt very restrictive in that way. So Independence Day, it had a multiplayer, I believe. I never played it. So I'm looking up some of the Wikipedia stuff.
Split screen. Yeah, but it's head to head.
Yeah, which I guess just heat seeking missiles? Question mark. Like, I don't know, man. This game's just garbage. And it had, like, a couple clips from the movie, like all these licensed games would, and it's, like, horribly compressed, and the audio is all blown out, and it's a terrible way to experience snippets of the movie.
Well, despite the game being 3D, it feels like an old-school arcade game. Like, it feels like it's, like, you would know better than me the terminology of
feels like a mode school, 7
like,
game.
Yeah, yeah, like the old school Star Wars arcade games. Right. Like it doesn't feel legit 3D like Star Fox 64, which would have been a contemporary of this game. Yeah, and that makes it look really ugly, and that's part of, I think, why it played so poorly. It like felt so bad.
Yeah. Yeah, and I want to say the frame rate was just awful.
That tracks.
Yeah, I'm looking at gameplay right now. Oh boy, that's bad. Yeah, this game's. Oh man, I'm getting sick just watching it. This game's bad. Yes. I can't watch that for more than a couple seconds. It's just all over the place, dude. I think Independence Day stays.
Okay. Our shortlist is too long.
I know it is. I know.
That's okay. That's all right. We'll
it's going to get longer. Because the next video game on the list is Overblood for the PlayStation X. Developed by River Hill Soft and published by EA in the U.S. This was a game that was originally released in Japan in 96 and then was ported to the U.S. by EA in 97 because I guess EA wanted to get in on that Resident Evil survival horror money. Unfortunately, this game is really bad. It is, however, a pioneer of sorts. It's widely considered the first survival horror game to utilize a full 3D environment. And because of that, it's really bad. It has... So I believe we're on the same wavelength here. This is the game that looks worse than Beastmasters Transformers.
Yes, this is Beast the Wars. Worst looking game on this list.
Yeah.
And that is saying something.
Yes. Yes. I became aware of... I have played Overblood. I have not beaten it. I have played it. But I first became aware of Overblood when Game Informer was doing their Super Replay series. They did a Super Replay playing the entirety of Overblood. I believe it was Tim Turry played it. And it was like some of the most riveting gameplay footage because the game is just nonsense. Where, like, some of the puzzles in the first Resident Evil... can be a little obtuse and everyone has a couple of pain points in like the puzzle logic their first time through, like why would I think to look there for that thing, that kind of stuff. Overblood's entire gameplay progression, like all of the milestones, they are all fucking complete nonsense, and it's trying to tell this story about how there's this like virus in your blood. Again, it's trying to do the Resident Evil thing, and you're trying to get cured, but the virus is like something about virus and immortality, and there's this dude who's immortal who's like the big bad, and you have to try and find a way to kill the immortal dude. And it's just completely incomprehensible though, because they're also, in addition to 3D, they're doing this like really ambitious cutscenes using the in-game models and graphics and like camera angles and voice acting, but it's just none of it is good. Like the camera angles, the shots, they take too long. Like they like the animation plays and then a sound plays and then there's a pause and then the camera changes and then there's like a slow reaction animation to the thing that just happened and then a pause and then a little bit of dialogue. And the dialogue is, like, horribly compressed. It's also, like, super quiet, and so it's really hard to hear what they're saying. And it's very muffled and bad quality, so it's hard to understand what they're saying, if you can even hear it. Which just makes following the convoluted, nonsensical plot even worse. And in those cutscenes, they're giving you critical clues about what you need to be doing to be solving these puzzles and progressing. And
sure.
Because it's, like, an early video game, you know, there's no... quest tracker or, you know, data log or anything to follow. Like, you have to be paying attention, and you just get fucked over a lot because of that. Like, I think she just said something important, but boy, I couldn't hear it, and there's no way to replay it. It's really bad. But on the positive side, it has the best robot companion character of any video game. I say that sarcastically. And and that is Peepo. Peepo is a lovable little robot friend who has a giant claw thing on its head, and it can grab stuff, and it beep boops, and is very like R2-D2 like. There, you actually, in a couple of sections, you play as Peepo to solve some puzzles. So really, it's Ratchet and Clank. is what I'm saying.
Does he beep boo boo bop boo boo bop?
Beep boo boo bop
boo boo beep bop.
Yes, he does. He does. And he's gonna beep boo boo bop his way onto the short list.
I agree.
Overblood's bad. I own that video game because I feel like I have to, and also I got it as cheaply as I could in a CD case with no cover, and the middle thing is broken, so the disc is just kind of loose in the CD case. Because that's what Overblood deserves. Mm. Oh, I feel better now that I got that off my chest. Oh, man. All right, next up, we have Rush Hour on the PlayStation X.
This was developed by Clockwork Entertainment and published by Psygnosis. Psygnosis is a repeat
offender. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they published a lot of bad video games in the late 90s. So this has a game rankings of 55.75. This game is not going to make it onto the list.
I don't think so either, unfortunately.
It's just a mediocre to bad racing game.
Yeah.
They tried to do a Micro Machines thing where it's got like a really pulled out camera.
Right.
But it's not pulled out far enough. And so you both, like, you can't see where you're driving because you aren't behind the car.
Right.
Like in a traditional racing game. And you also can't see where you're driving, like in Micro Machines, where it's like really pulled far back.
Right.
So it's kind of like in this, like, you know, dead zone in between where they knew it was bad. And so they add little signs that like pop up on your screen to tell you what the next turn is going to be.
Yeah. Instead of just like having a mini map or whatever, like a lot of games had too.
It's not an in-universe sign. It's not like on the side of the road no. or the racetrack there's a sign. It's like an icon in the UI that tells you which way you're supposed to turn.
And
next.
It covers like half the screen.
Huge. And it's not good. Yeah, it's just a bad racing game. Like, it definitely does suck, but it doesn't suck nearly as much as the rest of these guys on here.
Right.
There are already a lot of games. We've already got 6 games on the short list, and there's another game that we're going to talk about that's going to make the short list.
Sure. I do feel like Rush Hour, though, is one of the licensed games on here that feels the least connected to its property.
Is it actually related to the movie Rush Hour?
I
don't think that it is.
Oh, I assumed it was. Maybe you know, you might be right.
Because
in Europe it was known as Speedster. So I think you're right. Yeah, I don't think it was actually attached. Maybe that's why I've always been so confused as to why they called it Rush Hour.
The Rush Hour came out in 98.
Oh, so, shit.
It is not related.
So the movie copied this amazing video game.
Yes, they stole the name.
Those bastards.
Because, this would be a weird tie-in.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Jackie Chan, Chris Tucker action comedy Rush Hour.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be, huh? That's funny that I didn't realize that until this moment. That's good.
The next game on the list is a tie-in.
Yes.
Which is Star Wars Masters of Tereskasi. This game also, I don't believe, should make the short list. Again, I don't think this is a good video game. I have a soft spot for it because it's Star Wars,
sure.
which I'm willing to put aside if it was really, really bad. But it's mostly just like a below average fighting game with Star Wars stuff. Like, to me, this was not as bad as that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Tournament Fighters game.
Sure. Okay.
So, like, because we didn't play a lot of fighting games. That's what I'm saying. That's my frame of reference. Like, I'm comparing that Genesis game to this one.
Yeah.
And it's just not, it's not as bad. So, to I guess to give the qualifiers on here. So, this was developed and published by LucasArts, and it's got a 53.83 on game rankings. which, you know, is low. It certainly isn't a good video game, but it's, right. I don't think it's nearly as bad as some of the other ones we're talking about here.
Okay. And so I guess I feel like I have, through cultural osmosis, developed a dislike for this game, but I have never played it. So
yeah, people definitely look back on this game poorly.
Right.
As they should. It is not a good video game. And especially for people that like loved fighting games, right? Like we've talked about this. This was when fighting games were really starting to catch on, like Soul Edge, the first Soul Calibur game.
Well, yeah, because I mean they used to be only in the arcade.
Tekken. Yeah, exactly. Like home console fighting games were starting to really pick up steam beyond just the Mortal Kombat's of the world. And this was a really bad one in comparison. But I don't have the negative passion that I do for so many of these other games. It's to me like I feel like the name Star Wars Masters of Tereskasi, like something about maybe just because it's Star Wars or so, it definitely spread. Like more people know about this game than they should because it's just a bad fighting game. Like it's to me it's not offensively bad, I guess is what I'm saying.
Okay.
So it's I don't know why so many people talk about this game as being so bad, because there are so many other bad games.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's just that it's another in a long list of bad Star Wars games.
Yeah, but all I mean, we'll get to this, because in 97, I'm looking back through the list, because I know there was a good Star Wars game. Dude, Dark Forces
Dark
2
Forces
came out.
2, yeah.
X-Wing versus TIE Fighter came out.
Yeah.
That game was pretty fun.
I mean, just like in between now and when it released, there have been many bad Star Wars games. And so this, I think, kind of gets lumped in with all of those by association.
That's definitely fair.
We don't have to bring that one along. We can lay that one. Let's let it sleep. Let it rest.
Let it rest. All right, next and final on the list is The Lost World Jurassic Park. This was on PSX and Sega Saturn, developed by DreamWorks Interactive and Appaloosa Interactive. On PlayStation, it was published by EA, and on Saturn, it was published by Sega, obviously.
Okay.
This has a game rankings of 60, which is one of the higher ones.
That feels way too high for this game.
It does feel way too high for this game. So the first Jurassic Park game is a classic. It's in that vein on the genesis of movie tie-in games that were insanely difficult, and they only were made that way so that you had to rent them over and over and over again and never beat them, a la Lion King and Aladdin. Like, to me, these Jurassic Park, Aladdin, and Lion King, like, all three of those games are just always together in my mind.
It's the Bermuda Triangle of hard licensed games where all of your rental money just disappears.
Yeah, and Jurassic Park had way more going for it than the other two, like more complexity and different, plays the dinosaurs.
The art was good.
Totally. So reason I bring that up is Jurassic Park Lost World, the second one, is very similar in that it's a tie-in to the movie, but it does not follow the plot of the movie. It is a side-scroller. More of a, it's not a shoot 'em up nor a beat 'em up, because it's got fairly stilted combat. It's not really a platformer in the traditional sense. It's just kind of like a side-scrolling action game, I guess. The difference is this, much like many of the other games on this list, made the characters and backgrounds more 3D. Not fully 3D, but more 3D. And I don't know if it was rushed. I don't know the why. But this game sucks.
Yeah.
Like, the first Jurassic Park game is fun for its difficulty. This game has very little going for it. The animations are very stilted. The hitboxes on the enemies do not feel good. The shooting and aiming feels really... So you play as humans and as dinosaurs in this. I think it's like five different characters total. The humans have guns. The shooting is really wonky. Playing as the dinosaurs is far worse, in my opinion, than playing as the humans. They have way less options in combat.
Yeah.
And since you're mostly fighting humans that can shoot you and stuff, you're just like trying to jump all over the place and claw at them, and it feels really, really bad. Like the jumping around is not accurate. You're like bonking off of the boxes and the walls. It just is like... it feels really messy.
Yeah. And like the cameras, I also feel like is serially pulled in way too far. Like you do not get to see enough.
It is too tight, especially when you're playing as a dinosaur where you don't have a ranged attack.
Right.
That makes it way worse. Yeah, you're totally right.
You can't see far enough ahead for like the enemies that are coming at you. It's like everything is like an instant, immediate surprise all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder if like the positivity around this game is more because like the music and the sound effects are really good. The sort of atmosphere of the game is nice. There's a huge variety of environments that you're fighting through.
It's all about the secret ending.
That's true.
That's the only reason people like this game is for the memes.
There's a secret ending that like so you're collecting the DNA samples or whatever.
Dino
like
DNA.
The thing you're trying to collect as the different characters. If you collect all of them, you get a secret ending that has the Ian Malcolm, actually voiced by Jeff Goldblum, purely for a secret ending, which is bizarre.
Yeah.
But in that secret ending, he like congratulates you on finding all of the DNA samples.
It's just like Jeff Goldblum on a beach.
Like, he tells you to go outside and do other things.
He's like, all right, now you can put it down and go outside and go do other things. Jeff Goldblum tells you to touch grass.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
It's hilarious. Oh man. He's like, you did it. You persevered. You stared that 20-foot megalodon right in the eyes, or whatever it was he said. Oh man. That is a hilarious video.
It is very good. The video game is not very good.
No. It's not a good enough reward to make you play the game. No,
certainly not. Is it bad enough to stick around? I'm kind of on the fence.
I think so, yeah.
You think so? Okay. I think so. We've got, so from 10 games, we are down to 7 on our short list. So, which to me, I think we should cut Lost World. I think I'm okay cutting Clay Fighter. I'm okay cutting Lost World. And then I feel like we're down into it. Run us down the short list.
Yeah.
So
right now we have Beast Wars Transformers, Clay Fighter 63 and a third, Fantastic Four, Frogger, Independence Day, Overblood, and The Lost World Jurassic Park. So you're saying we should cut The Lost World Jurassic Park and Clay Fighter?
I am. Here's why. I believe you are going to want Overblood to be on this list.
Yeah.
I have no passion for Overblood. I haven't played it. It looks really rotten. I know there are like lots of gameplay and stuff of people like, I know it's considered a game that sucks. So I'm fine with it being in the top three. I don't know that it will win or lose whatever frame rate you want to take. But like that, if that's making it, which I'm okay with, that's one of our spots. And then we're duking it out between like all these other fucking movie tie-in games, Beast Wars, Fantastic Four, Independence Day, Lost World. And then we've got like the weird ones, Clay Fighter and Frogger. I think Frogger is worse than Clay Fighter for sure.
Yeah.
So I'm okay cutting Clay Fighter. And then if we're comparing all these like licensed games, Beast Wars, Fantastic Four, Independence Day, Lost World, to me, Lost World is definitely the least bad of those four.
I agree. Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. All right. Let's strike. Yeah. Strike Clay Fighter and Lost World. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we're down to 5. So I'm going to, I guess they're all highlighted, which is not helpful.
Yeah.
For our
let's undo that.
So I'm going to highlight Overblood just for, so that we've got context here.
Sure.
So how are we feeling? Let's keep comparing the movie games or like the licensed games since we've got 3 of them already.
Yeah, we have Beast Wars, Transformers,
Fantastic Four, Independence Day.
Yeah.
Which I honestly don't know which one is the least bad of these. I feel like to me
probably Independence Day is the least bad.
I think so, which is crazy. That game is really, really, really
bad. Yeah, that game sucks.
But, like, to me, Beast Wars and Fantastic Four are in a whole other strategy.
I would rather play Independence Day.
No doubt. Oh, absolutely.
Because at worst, it's like, because, yeah, the controls are terrible and it's boring, but you can just heat-seek missile everything and still win. Fantastic Four and Beast Wars, you have to actually play them.
So, and at this point, playing the game is a detriment.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, dude. Jeez. Playing most games is bad. This is, like, extra bad. So, I think it's okay to get rid of Independence Day.
Okay, Independence Day goes. How are we feeling about Frogger on this list? Because my only struggle is,
I would rather play Frogger than the other three, I think.
I think you're probably right. This is where, I mean, we got four games. And like I said, I'm cool with Overblood making it. It's hard. Comparing it to these other three games is tough.
Yeah. Overblood is just, it's such a different animal from the other three, because it's also so much more ambitious.
That's exactly what I was just going to say. It's legitimately ambitious.
Yeah. But it just fails in everything it does.
Right.
Playing it is so bad.
Giving it credit for its ambition is okay, but it being ambitious is certainly not enough on its own. And yes, looking at gameplay looks really rough.
Yeah, like it looks really, like, I've played it. I have it. I have played it. It is bad time, man. It does not feel good. Mm-hmm. It's like, because, so Resident Evil, when it does its tank controls, it's smart about where it switches the camera.
Sure.
Overblood is not. It just, like, sometimes you get stuck in that situation where you're moving one direction, the camera changes, and it moves you back, so the camera changes back, and then you try to move a different way, and the camera's, it's like an intersection of three different camera angles all in this one spot, and you're just stuck. That happens multiple times.
Seems bad.
It is really bad. Oh. I would rather get rid of Frogger.
Well, let's
than the other two, but yeah, we can talk about the other two again real quick.
Yeah, let's at least look at Beast Wars versus Fantastic Four. Not that we can't have both of them make the list, which might be what happens. Which, to me, Beast Wars is worse than Fantastic Four. Fantastic Four has more of a vibe of it was made in a weekend.
Right.
Compared to Beast Wars, because there's more going on in Beast Wars, but Beast Wars feels so bad to play.
It's full 3D, which is a huge problem. Fantastic Four is a side scroller, so you have bounds around how shitty it can be. The camera is usually not a problem in Fantastic Four.
Right.
Some foreground stuff is still a problem, but Beast Wars, the camera is always your biggest enemy, is what it looks like.
I'm going to bold Beast Wars.
Okay.
Beast Wars should make the top three, bottom three.
Yeah.
So we're looking at Fantastic Four compared to Frogger. Man, yeah, I think we probably just have to cut Frogger and just make that. Frogger sucks.
It does. I don't think it sucks more than that Fantastic Four game.
It definitely doesn't. I was, like, trying to find a way for it because I hate it.
All right, well, yeah. So, Frogger, much like Overblood, is ambitious with its source material.
I guess.
Because Overblood is ambitious with its Resident Evil source material by going full 3D and all that other stuff. Frogger is ambitious and, like, they're adding different types of levels and other stuff like that.
I don't know. I mean, it's splitting hairs. I don't know that I would call it ambitious, though. Like, they're just adding shit.
Sure.
It doesn't feel ambitious to me. It doesn't feel like they had this, like, big idea. It was just,
we now have to make a full Frogger video game. What do people who play video games like to play?
Right. See, because, like I'll give Overblood credit for having ambition. I'm not going to give Frogger credit.
I think that's okay.
That said, I think we cut Frogger.
Yeah, I think so too. It's Fantastic Four, just it looks so
bad, dude. It is so bad.
And the music, the amateurish,
man.
The music is baffling.
Yes.
All right.
There are so many fun superhero side-scrolling games. Like, there are several good X-Men games up until this point. Several good Spider-Man games up until this point. The original, you know, the Batman Forever, the one good version, was fun. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is a classic. Like, there are so many good games for Fantastic Four to draw on, and it draws on none of them.
It really doesn't, huh?
I think this is a good top three, though. Beast Wars, Transformers, Fantastic Four, over Blood.
I kind of think it's already in the order.
I think I agree with you. I would safely put Overblood at three, mostly just because I haven't played it.
Yeah.
And also, I feel like, not that this is an objective conversation. Nothing we're saying is objective. But objectively, Beast Wars and Fantastic Four are worse.
Game rankings, you're correct.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, I didn't even think about that. But yeah, Beast Wars 38. Fantastic Four 37, by far the lowest rated game.
Overblood is a 64. Yeah. Which that is rose tinted glasses. That is for the memes. I think 34 points of that is Peepo.
People love Peepo.
That's right.
Yes, I think Overblood belongs at 3. And yes, since we're down to it, then I think Beast Wars is worse than Fantastic Four.
Me too.
Because it somehow, despite all odds, feels worse to play than Fantastic Four.
Yeah, yeah. It all has to do with the three-dimensional aspect of it. Like,
yes, 100%.
Yeah, and like having to switch modes between the robot and like in order to actually get anywhere, having to change to the animal mode so you can move with any kind of speed. But even that is just like horrible. Yeah. All right.
It's kind of a coup for Overblood to make it like to overcome all these other shitty licensed games for an actually original IP to make this list.
Yeah,
that's Overblood.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, all right, nice job. Yay. All right, our top three games that suck for 1997. In spot number three, we have Overblood. Spot number two, Fantastic Four, and spot number one, Beast Wars, Transformers. Man. Oh, there are so many good games that came out this year.
So many. It's going to be very hard to get a top five.
97 was an incredible year for games. But every time cream rises to the top, there's that shitty little silt down at the bottom. And that's what we just spent an hour sifting through.
The dredge.
I feel dirty. Overblood made me feel dirty.
Maybe Clay Fighter 63 and a third should be on this list. That's the dirtiest game on this list. That's a dirty game.
Yeah, man. They had a vision. And they ignored when people said it was good and said, no, we're going to do the bad thing again.
That's crazy. That's crazy, man. You know how people liked the second one? Let's not do that.
Yeah. Nah. We were trying to make a game people hated, and we felt like we succeeded with the first one.
Hey, that, you know what? That does fit in with the, like, Twisted Metal-esque attitude of Clay Fighter.
Yeah. We don't care if you don't like it. Fuck you. We made it. We made this video game.
We're so edgy.
Yeah. It did have Earthworm Jim in it, though.
True. Earthworm Jim is a great character.
Yeah. Probably not in Clay Fighter 63 and a third.
But... Well, there are no good characters in Clay Fighter 63 and a third.
That's the first rule of Clay Fighter. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. You know, you can email us at info@shayhayfa... Info at SheaHatesEverything.
We gotta start the whole podcast over.
We have to redo everything. Clay Fighter, we're coming for you. You can email us what your worst games of 1997 were, and we'll read it on our flagship podcast. Let us know how we did. Did you not like anything we said about one of your favorite games of all time, Frogger?
I feel like if we're going to get any defenders, it's going to be for Bomberman or maybe like Masters of Terrascasi. Yeah. Because I know that game has its defenders. Or maybe Overblood. Maybe people like Overblood.
Maybe. Look.
But fucking no one likes Beast Wars or Fantastic Four. I'll tell you that.
No one likes those games. Pretty confident.
0% recommend.
You can find the She Hates Everything podcast wherever you engage with podcasts. Please be sure to subscribe, leave a rating or review, tell your friends. We don't market this thing. We're just two idiot brothers. We don't know how to do that, despite one of us working in marketing. We don't know how to
don't
do that.
That.
We can't do that.
My job.
I know. Yeah, we don't know how to do that. How does that happen, even? The marketing fairies sprinkle marketing dust and your SEO goes sky high.
Oh, you're 80% there.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, everyone. We will see you on the next flagship podcast or next month for Games That Don't Suck of 1997. Mark your calendars. It is the third Monday of May, which is... The 20th. I channeled my inner peepo there right at the end.
Beep,
thanks,
boop,
folks.
Boop, bop.
Beep, boop, bop. See you in a couple.
Don't do that again.
Nah. Everyone have a good time. You're all beautiful. Love you. Bye. Mwah.